who shall dwell in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? And we're looking at our day, which we're living in now, we might could kind of ask that same question. I guess back in that day, there was probably a lot of apostasy, a lot of hypocrites, and people had strayed from the law. And Psalms, David probably looked at that. Lord, who's going to abide in thy tabernacle? Now we look in our day in which we live, have a church, this name on the door, that church got a name on the door. Pass by that parking lot, two or three cars. Pass by that, maybe four or five cars. Sometimes maybe holiness churches within about rock-throwing distance of each other. And it might make us sometimes feel like scratching our head. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Praise God. Sometimes it might make us feel like the Lord maybe scratching his head, looking down at this group here and this group here. They're reading the same Bible. They're still wanting to go to the same place. And why can't they worship together? Praise God. But you know what? There's going to be a day when there's going to be a separation day. And you know what? Whenever we stand before God, like that song they were singing a while ago, you know God's not going to be a bit confused on his people. There's scripture where it says something to the effect of some preach that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. But it says, goes on, nevertheless, the foundation of God stand assured, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Praise God. And I'm so glad the Lord knows them that are his. Praise God. You can misjudge somebody. You can maybe make a wrong judgment on someone and maybe take them wrong or whatever. But you know what? The Lord knows them that are his. Praise God. So you see, it's a day that we're living in. We need to just wake up to our duty. High time to awake out of sleep and say, Lord, I'm planning on going to heaven. Praise God. It might be all right sometimes even tell the devil that. I'm planning on going to heaven. Praise God. I know we got some bumps and bruises and some hills and valleys and maybe some cold shoulders. Praise God. But instead of all, we might as well just go. I'm planning on hearing the Lord say, come in after a while. Praise God. I'm so thankful to be able to be here. Praise God. I don't know how much preaching I'll do, Brother Bob. I appreciate being asked to come. And I love Brother Bob and his family and his church. Praise God. I just want to go to heaven with everybody that gets to go. Praise God. I don't have no certain crowd picked out to go with. Praise Lord. I'd like to be like old Sister Rosie Mays up at Huff Church for a long time. I would go and she would be an old lady. She would testify. And she would say, I just like to push everybody else in and me go in behind them. Praise God. I don't have to be the first one on the street of gold. Praise God. They sing a song sometimes around our church. And I may not get there first, but I'll be there just the same. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to go, don't you? I know there's maybe a small crowd of us, but I want to preach like the house. Yes! If some folks don't believe in making noise, if they don't like loud music, don't like loud praise in God, you know what I read in the Bible? I read, I think, in Revelation, where it's going to be 30 minutes of silence in heaven. Praise God. I think I asked somebody a while back, does that mean that the ladies or the men's going to get there first? Praise God. But you know what? The 30 minutes of silence, and then after that, can you imagine what a time we're going to have? Praise God. I can't hardly really imagine what it's going to be like. And just to think we made it inside the gate, and all of our troubles are behind us. All of our battles are behind us. No devil to bother us no more. Nothing to bother our mind. Praise God. It's something to think about. I tell you what, I believe it's going to be too good to miss. And I want to be one in the crowd. Praise God. I want to try to read some here if the Lord will help us. And if I don't get anointed very good, I think I've been preaching long enough. I know how to go ahead and present the altar. Praise God. In the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, it's very familiar probably to some of you. It's old scripture, I know, but I want to go into the new. But this was commandment from the Lord. And Moses was talking to the children of Israel in the first verse of the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy. It says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Praise God. What about that? The Lord just seemed like it's His good pleasure to bless them that's obeying Him. And on down in that same chapter, it didn't stop there. And in the first 15th chapter of it's the 15th verse of that same chapter, it says, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all His commandments," I'll start all over, "but it shall come to pass if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all His commandments and His statutes which I command thee this day, all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out." Yes. Praise God. What about that? Thanks. I want to read just a little bit over in the New Testament, a little bit over in Ephesians. And the second chapter of Ephesians, just bear with me if you will. It says, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." Praise God. Thank you. Using these verses for a little background, Brother Bobby, I'd like to preach for a little while for the Lord to help me. Is on the plan plus activities equals results. Praise God. The plan plus activities equals results. And in that first part of that 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, which I read, it sounded like that there were so many good blessings for the children of God if they would do what God told them to do. Praise God. Back then, I believe the law was laid out for them. I don't believe they were really confused. I believe they already had that sacrifice. And whether everybody wants to admit it or not, God has always had an order. Praise God. Now, I didn't say program, but He's always had an order. Praise God. People don't seem to get enough of the Spirit of God when they come to church to have much to work with. And so the pastor kind of has to conduct it like a program sometimes. But you know what? If everybody would really get on fire for God, God's got the plan already made out. Praise God. We shouldn't have to just beg people to testify. We shouldn't have to just beg people to praise the Lord. Praise God. They ought to already have something in their heart to praise God and worship Him with. Praise God. But this Old Testament, back then there was different ways they had to do than what we do now. They had, when you sinned, you had to get the sacrifices made. And the priest would go in once a year and offer up sacrifices for himself and for the people. And to the turtle doves and the pigeons and all that lost their life. God had the plan already made. Praise God. And then on the 15th verse of that same chapter, it goes on to tell them, if you don't do what's right, if you don't do the commandment of the Lord, then there's going to be some curses. Praise God. So there's going to be an everlasting blessing, or there's going to be an everlasting curse. Praise God. Oh, Hallelujah. I'm about to preach. Thank the Lord to help me get this out. Bobby, praise God. You know, in our day, it seems like there's lots of activities that's going on. Praise God, you can get in a lot of activities that people gets in things that, you know, and even bring them into the church as activities that'll feed the flesh. Praise God, there's a lot of things. This old flesh likes to be entertained. I like good music, it'll entertain my ears. I like good singing, it entertains me, you know. And it seems like they've got to the point, I guess, they want to keep a big crowd. Just bring in the big singing groups and bring in the big crowd. Praise God. Let's have a lot of activities. Praise God. I like what old Brother Wilder told us up at Big Hill one night. He said, if you can take a hot dog and get them in, you can take a hamburger and get them out. Praise God. That's about the way it is. If the only reason why people go to church for their fun and games and their trips and their cookouts, praise God, I'll tell you what, they better check out their activities. Praise God. I'll tell you the activities that we need is somebody getting alone in their closet at home and get a hold of God. Somebody that'll separate themselves from this world long enough, get their mind clear enough to call on God. Activities that we need to be doing. Praise God. If we want our loved ones saved, if we want grandma and grandma to get in, if we want our cousins to be saved, if we want an old time camp meeting revival, if we want to rejoice in the house of God, we better check out the activities that we're doing. If you do the right kind of activities, you'll get the results. Praise God, you get to looking at this. There's activities that disobey God. They'll do their own thing. One place in Jeremiah, we will not walk therein. They'll do their own ways. We're going to do our own thing. I hate that song in a way. Well, I guess I shouldn't say hate. I'm very fond of that song that they sing. Me and Jesus got our own thing going. We don't need nobody to tell us what it's all about. Praise God. That might sound like some self-centered Christian or so-called Christian. Praise God. But you know what a good Christian wants to do? They want to hear the Word of God. I'd like to be one, Bob. Lord, let me hear what it's going to take. Let somebody correct me when I do wrong. Let me hear what it's going to take to go to the city of God. Help me to do the right activities, because I'm wanting to get to right results after a while. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. There's a lot of activities going on, but all of them ain't going to get the right kind of results. Praise God. Thank you. And when you get to thinking about how the plan is laid out, if you've got someone hired to build your house, and there's what they call blueprints to go by, and there's some men that can really do good on drawing those blueprints. And once they get them drawn, they can take them to a builder. And a lot of times there's some builders that know how to read those blueprints and the measurements and how they get them real precise. And my brother-in-law used to be a framer of a house, and my nephew was working for him, and he talked like that. He could just about be standing on the ground and look at a certain measurement and tell him about how big to cut the board. There's some that's pretty precise on building and reading the blueprint. Praise God. But you know what? If you get somebody that you don't really know what they're doing, and they're just wanting to get a fast buck, praise God, move on down the road and not follow the plan. They can do the activities. They may show up work early. They may have the fanciest tools that they can have, but they can do the activities, but they won't get the right kind of results. Praise God. Oh, God has already laid out His plan for us. Praise God. Whenever Jesus came, He broke down that wall that separated us from the Jews, and He opened up the door to whosoever will let Him come. Praise God. They beat Him. They blindfolded Him. They beat on Him. They stripped Him of His garment. They put thorns on His head. Praise God. He was telling them the right way. He was trying to lay out the plan to how to get to the city of God. Praise God. They had been used to the eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth. He told them another way. He said, I say, bless them that curse you. Do good to them that persecute you. Praise God. In other words, don't be doing like you used to do. This is the plan to go by. Love your enemies. Pray for them that despitefully use you. Praise God. Oh yes, that was the plan. They beat him. They took him to the cross. They died on the cross. They put him in the tomb. They thought they'd done away with him. Praise God. But he is the one that laid out the plan for us. And you know what? There's only one plan to go by. Praise God. You say, oh my. I don't care what Oprah Winfrey says. There's going to be still just one way to go to the city of God. And that's going through him by the blood of Jesus. Praise God. There is no other way. You can pray to Buddha till you're blue in the face. You can go to Muhammad's grave and maybe cry out all night long. But I'll tell you what. Until you humble yourself and come as a little child and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Praise God. The plan is like this. The plan is with the heart man believeth, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Praise God. Hey, that's the plan. That's the only way to get there. You better do those activities if you want to get the results. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Can you imagine that old blind man where Jesus was? I don't guess he'd ever seen anything in his life, Bobby. Praise God. And he came to a man, I don't know how well he even knew Jesus, other than hearing about him. And you know what? Jesus gave him a commandment. He gave him a plan. He said, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. Praise God. Can you imagine the things that could be going through his mind? When I don't know if he's trying to get me killed? Is he trying to boo away with me, get me out of the crowd? Should I obey this man or not? Praise God. Does he know my family? Does he know anything about me? Praise God. But you know what? He had the plan. So guess what he did? He took him up on the plan. Praise God. He went ahead and did what? He did the activity that he told him to do. Praise God. And he goes down there to the pool of Siloam. And you know what? He came back seeing. Praise God. He came back seeing. He got the right kind of results because he obeyed the commandment, because he went by the plan. If you and I ever want to go to the city of God, if we ever want to meet our loved ones that's gone on before, if we ever want to live forever, you and I better measure up our lives to the plan that's already been laid out for us. We better try to get in touch with God and say, Lord, let me do the activities that's going to get the results that I desire.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. There's a lot of activities going on, and not all of them's leading to the city of God. Praise God. I mean, there's a lot of doctrines, a lot of ways, and we shouldn't be too concerned other than be aware. We ought to be aware of those men that's lying in wait by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive us. Praise God. Some of them will probably tell you the wrong way intentionally. Some of them are probably blind and don't know how to lead the blind, and they both fall into the ditch. Praise God. But you know what? We better get into the Word of God and really realize that this is the route to heaven. We'll never get to go unless we go by the plan. Praise God. I didn't write it. You didn't write it. And I can't change it, and you can't change it. But you know what we got to do? We got to measure up our lives to the plan of God. Praise God. Whenever that bass is out of tune on one string, you don't tune all the other strings down to the one that's out of tune. Praise God. You tune the one up that's out with the rest of them. Praise God. That's the way it is in the Bible. You can't just pick out a few scriptures to fit your case. Praise God. And because grandma or grandpa did it, that's just the way you are too. Praise God. Some folks might look at it, Bobby, and say, well, that's just the way I am. My grandpa would never forgive nobody. I don't want to forgive. That's just me. That's just the way I am. What are we going to do with this scripture that said, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. Praise God. This old nature makes a change. You've got to have a heart your way of living. You'll change the way you talk, the places that you go, the company that you live, keep. Praise God. You will be a changed man or woman. If you do the right kind of activities, you'll get the right kind of results. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. I had an aunt that had some children who was lost. My cousins was lost, and you know, one of them would kind of be argumentative to her. She would pray. She'd get up early in the morning before daylight. She'd be praying, calling out about her children, praying for their children, her children, and up way up in the morning. And then she'd come to church, and I'd be on her mind so strong, pray for my children. That was one of her biggest burdens about her children. They were lost, and she was wanting them to get saved and get praying. And there was one of them that was very argumentative with the scripture, you know, questioning his carry on with her. Looked like a long way from ever coming to the altar, coming to get saved. Praise God. Looked like so far away. Another one seemed a little bit closer. He'd be around us sometime and just talking about the Lord and talking about the good things. He'd be a little attentive and, you know, be agreeing with us, you know. But it seemed like neither one of them would ever make their way to really come and surrender to the Lord. Praise God. Oh, but my aunt kept on doing the activity. Praise God. She would fast and she would pray. She had warned them. She didn't just let the guard down just because her children was guilty and pat them on the back. Oh, that's okay. You can get away with that. She'd tell them like it was. Praise. I mean, she held it up strong. Oh, where would we be at tonight if everybody would have held it up strong? Praise God. If the pastor hadn't had any pets, like a teacher's pet in school, if they hadn't any petted them on, afraid they'd lose maybe their big time in because they were guilty, wouldn't preach on things that the Lord wanted them to. Where would we be tonight if the old folks had held up the standard and said, oh, homosexuality is abomination in the sight of God? Where would we be tonight? Praise God. If they'd all held up the standard of God and this black book. Praise God. But they got too many of them sidling in. Well, that's okay. That won't bother you. You just go ahead. Praise God. Some of them probably wouldn't want us to tell their grandchildren about a burning lake of fire. They're going to be burning forever and ever. If they don't get their heart right, they might say, oh, you'll run them off from church. You'll never have them praying. Oh, I'd like to tell them, Bobby, praise God, if you see me go astray, if you see me violating the word of God, would you come to me in a good loving way and say, you better straighten up your ways or you're going to go to hell. You're going to be lost. Don't sugarcoat the word for me. You just tell it like it is. God don't have pants. He's got a plan. And we've all got to go by the plan or we're going to end up in the wrong place. Oh, hallelujah. I know we live in a day it seems like people have got the dress code down pat. I mean, sometimes you can't hardly spot the way people are dressing. And they look like a good Christian from a distance. Ladies got their hair long. And men got their clothes on when they're mowing the yard. Men got their hair cut right and dressing right out amongst the world. Praise God. But you and I would probably be surprised. I want to repeat that. You and I would probably be surprised of what's going on down inside of people's hearts. It's not all on the outward appearance that we need to be concerned with. I like it when they tell me they're a Christian for them to look like one. Let me tell you, I like that. But I'll tell you what else. If you're going to be a Christian on the outside, it's more important to be one on the inside. If you've got envy and strife in your heart, jealousy in your heart, adultery going on in your heart, you can go to church every time the doors open and still die and be lost. Back to my aunt. She would pray for her children. Praise God. You know, time came whenever she had that dreaded disease of Alzheimer's. She got to where she couldn't even be allowed really good to be at home by herself. Dangerous to be at home by herself. Got where she didn't know her children after she'd prayed for years for them. Spirit of God would move on her. She was a prophet in the church. And my, I believe she had the genuine thing. But she got to where she was getting ready to leave this world, and she had to go on out, and she still never did see all of her children pray. Now, some folks might think, well, she just prayed in vain. She might as well never ever gave in prayer for them. Praise God. I'd just like to remind you, even though our bodies decay and go back to the dust, God still got the prayers in remembrance. Praise God. One night I was scheduled to preach up at Dry Fork Church. Brother Bobby, and I think it was some kind of youth meeting or something, and looked back there, and there was a cousin of mine and another cousin of mine sitting there. Praise God, and the Lord just helped me begin to preach. And right before I ever made the altar, that cousin of mine that was very argumentative to my aunt, he stepped out of the aisle and came down the aisle and started praying. Praise God. Oh, let me tell you something. Praise God. If you're praying and it seems like you can't see what you're praying for, I want to encourage you tonight. Keep on doing the right kind of activities. I mean, sing anyway. If they don't like the way you sing, sing on anyway. If people think you're crazy, go ahead and worship God anyway. You keep on doing the right kind of activities. And the right kind of activities, that's what brings the right kind of results. Oh, I might be repeating that a lot, but that's the way I feel tonight. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. And now, the other day I was at church, and there was most of her children looked like up in the pulpit singing. She may never got to see it, but her prayers, I feel like God remembered her prayers. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. I'll tell you what, I don't want to miss the city of God. Praise God. Once we leave this world and our flesh decays and goes back to the dust, there's Bible for that. We're just going to be forgot about. Praise the moment we die, our thoughts perish. Praise God. But oh, our soul is going to live on forever and ever. Praise God. Oh, yes. Why can't people obey the word of God? Why can't people follow the right plan? What gets people so off the plan? Praise God. How come back whenever the children of Israel was there and they was hungry and God rained down manna from heaven? Oh, what a blessing to feed them out there in that old wilderness, them hungry people. Praise God. And he fed them. And the commandment came with it. Praise God. Had a commandment come with it. A plan about this manna. You wasn't supposed to keep it overnight. That was one thing. And another thing, they wasn't supposed to keep it or gather it on the Sabbath day. That was the plan. That was the plan. God gave them a good something to eat, but he had a little stipulation with it. You know what happened? They probably ate it real good, and somebody probably thought, well, how come we can't get it and keep it overnight? I'm going to get some of that good stuff and hold it overnight. They got it, and guess what? It bred worms and stunk. You know, then they gathered on the Sabbath day. Why couldn't they just go by the plan? How come people can't go by the plan? I mean, I believe in holiness. I believe in a good life. Praise God. But they've got it seem like sometimes about way out of whack, Bobby. They put a real stress maybe on some kind of color of shirt somebody wears, or some kind of color of shoe somebody wears, or a little bow in somebody's hair. Thank God. And why can't they just keep it like it is? It's hard enough to live just like it is. We don't need to be adding anything to it. Praise God. Let's just keep it like it is. And you know what Jesus said? You know what the plan was? He said, strive to enter in at the straight gate. There is a straight way to follow. There is a straight way to be sanctified from the world. Yes, but some folks are going the broad way that leads to destruction. But oh, thanks be to God, there's still somebody that's wanting to live in the way that the Lord can use them and hear the Lord say, come in. Well, I may be taking too long, Brother Bob. Praise God. I appreciate being able to be here. I'm glad that I know what I know about the Lord. I feel very pitiful when it comes to knowing about some things. I can lose me pretty easy in some of the worldly things, especially nowadays. You go to Walmart. I used to be, I guess, a little bit more up on some of these little electronic gadgets, and now they can run off levy. Wouldn't know hardly what the name of some of them are, I don't guess. It's so modern anymore, and some of it I like having a little phone. I can send a text message to somebody all the way to Ohio just in a matter of time. I like that, you know. Praise God. There's lots of things that you can lose me on. But I'll tell you what, when it comes down to the old time moving of the Spirit of God and the old time moving, I believe there's a lot of folks that's got off track. I mean, there's some probably would back up about anything. And we better be careful what we're backing. We better know, the Bible said, know them that labor among you. Praise God. We better find out. Praise God. The Bible said, Jesus told him, he said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Oh, how many people are following after strangers anymore? Oh, I don't want to follow after the stranger. But what I got in touch with, whenever I first got started, I believe it's just as real tonight as it was back then. I don't believe it's changed a bit. Just help me, God, to fire it up and get more in tune with the Word of God so I can rejoice more. Not looking for nothing new. Ain't searching for nobody else, a new church nowhere else. Praise God. I read somewhere in some book, I think I had, Bobby said, we got the kickers and the pickers and the stickers. Praise God. You got people in church maybe want to kick around, find fault with that one, find fault with that, and find fault with the pastor and what he's doing. I wish they'd do this and that. And then you got the pickers, and then you know what? We've got the pickers that want to pick at that and pick at that. Well, they shouldn't wear that. That looks so awful. And maybe you stand there, look, you know, and then we've got the stickers. Praise God. Those that when the church is going through the valleys, they're right there pushing up the hill with them. And when the church is kind of going through a slump, they're on their knees praying with them. And when there's just a few showing up at church, look around. There's a few still sticking right there with them. Praise God. Oh, yes. Help us, God, to be like an old postage stamp that's got enough a sticker to stick to one thing till it gets there. You know, may have some that wants to go on down the road where they're shouting a little bit more than they are here. And then whenever they start shouting more up here, want to move back in and start shouting here. Praise God. But you know what? I like it from those that will stay with the church through thick and thin. You can build confidence in them. They can build confidence in you. I just tell you, get settled down and stay with God and say, God, I've got to do the right kind of activities because I want to get the right results out. God, keep our fire burning in our soul. You know what? We're going to get the wrong kind of results after a while. Praise God. There's going to be results. If you'll look at that chapter that I read in, you know, if you've done the right thing and obeyed the word, voice of the Lord. You got the good results. You got the blessings. But if you go the opposite way and I want to do my own thing, that's the way the flesh lots of times wants to do it. I'll do it my way. I'll do it the way I want to do it. And you get a chance to end up getting the results of the curses. Praise God. There's an everlasting blessing. Well, there's an everlasting curse. And sometimes the way you want to do it is not the way it ought to be done. Thank the Lord. One time I bought a little table in the back. I'm going to close in a little bit. But I bought a little table to set out back at home and had some instructions with it. And, you know, I was going on probably late 30s or something. Who can't put a table together? And I don't think I paid a lot of attention to that little instruction thing that came with it. You know how to put a leg. You put a screw in the leg. I could put it together. I got it together pretty good. And stood up on its feet. And guess what? I had some parts left over. What about that? If I'd have went by the plan, I could have got it put up right. But you know what I left out? I left out what looked like some very important pieces. That was pieces that went on top of the legs to protect the glass around the table. And I left that out after I put it all together. Why didn't I go by the plan? Why didn't we just go by the plan? I had it fixed right, perhaps. Remember in the school, when you get on the bus, there was used to be at least, I think, 10 rules right by the steps. And whenever the students would go in the back and they looked toward the front of the bus, there was the plain plan right there. And some of them back then was probably very minor than what they got now, about throwing paper and staying in your seat, you know. But I guess if you was to go analyze every one of those rules, every one of those probably got broken sometime during the rides. Praise God. Why couldn't they just go by the plan? It went so much better if they just went by the plan. Well, I'll tell you what. We've got the plan to go to the city of God with right here. And I'll tell you what. You and I better be taking heed to the plan. We ought to take care of heed of what somebody else says. Oh, that ain't that bad. That's probably one of the most dangerous words about going to church. Oh, it's not that bad. They're doing it too, and the church is accepting them. It's not that bad. You know what the Bible said? Those that compare themselves by themselves are not wise. We better not be trying to compare ourselves by somebody else. We better get in the lens of the book and say, God, what's your plan? What's the plan that I got to go by? I want to end up in the right place after a while. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. But God's got the plan. And we better go by and do the activities if we're going to get the right kind of results. I wonder how many is going to come to judgment, you know, with their maybe church plan and thinking they've got everything right and went to church all their life and maybe claiming to be a Christian, claiming to feel the presence of the Lord and prophesy and cast out devils. And the Lord looked down at them after they came to the end of the way. It may not be as serious to some as it really is. But you know what? When you get to thinking about judgment, it's kind of scary to me. When I missed a doctor's appointment, I just canceled one out the other day. You know what I got to do? I got to call up and reschedule that appointment. Hey, I can do it again. Do another day. Praise God. If you miss some kind of test in school, a lot of times you have a makeup day. You can go ahead and make up the test, make it up. But you know what? When we come before judgment and the King of Kings, and we're standing there, and all of our time is ran out, and we stand before Him, the man that not only knows our name or our family or who our neighbors were, He's going to know what's been inside your heart. He's not going to be confused. I wonder how many will stand up there thinking they've got it all lined out. Oh, I'm going to go. And the Lord looked down at them and say, I never knew you. My wife pointed something out to me one time talking about people worshiping God. And she said, they want to worship Him, but they don't know who He is. Praise, that's about the right. A lot of them don't even know who he is, but all they'll join in when the music's going fast, or maybe song going good. Yeah, I like that song, yeah. And maybe looking like the world, you couldn't tell them any difference if you met them on the street from a Christian or a sinner. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Don't you think we need to look a little different than the world? Oh, hallelujah. Well, I guess I've been a little bit scattered tonight, Brother Bob. I appreciate being able to come and be with you. I'd like to hold up the right standard. I'm getting older myself. I mean, I turned 45 this year. And yeah, I'm coming to judgment. I'm coming to the end. And I was giving those prayer requests in a while ago. And everybody may not think like I do, but I don't know how many times I've been in service and they give in prayer requests. And they'll say, oh, remember so-and-so, he had a heart attack. Let's remember so-and-so, he was diagnosed with cancer. And I can look at it and think, how long is it going to be till they say, remember David, he was had a heart attack. He's diagnosed with cancer. They're not expecting him to live. Praise. And it means something when we're healthy and able to go and we feel good. Praise. But you know what? When it comes right down to where it looks like we're leaving this world, we might be wanting to do some rewinding. I think, Lord, I need to get this right. So my question is, why wait till you're leaving this world while you're healthy? And why you're able to do, and why you got a voice, and why you're able to go apologize and get everything fixed. I just like to tell you, go ahead and do it while you got your mind and while you can. Thank God, because you know what? Our time's running out, and we're all limited on time. Praise God. We're leaving this world, and there's one thing for sure, we're not coming back. And so you know what? We better have it right when we leave this world. I think I mentioned it while I was up here before, but it hit my mind, Bobby. About Jason Isaacs, he went to visit his kinfolk one time, and I think while he was there, he had another kinfolk, and he was like, she was like, oh, I'm ready to meet Grandma and Grandpa. She was feeling good, and talked to Jason like, I'm ready to go. And so as time went on, I think maybe 2 years later or something, she got down in bed getting ready to leave this world, looked like, and Jason got a chance to go visit her. And he gets over there right by her, and her voice was so weak down to a whisper just about it. And he got down there and he said, are you still ready to go meet Grandma? Are you still ever who she was talking about? Are you still ready to meet? And she was in a real weak voice, just spoke out and said, I don't think so. Praise God. You know, it makes a difference when you're able to go and feel good. Praise God. But you know what? It ain't always going to be like that. We're leaving here, and we better take a good, close inventory on our heart, because I like that song they sung a while ago, I'll face nobody's record but mine. Thank God we're all coming to the judgment. It's an individual race. No matter how many times we went to church or how many times you've sung the song, thank God, you know what? That's not really going to be what matters. It's going to be what matters is if you've had your name enrolled in the Lamb's Book of Life and you know that you've got the Lord down in your soul. Praise God. That's what's going to count after a while. Well, I may not help you tonight, but I've enjoyed being here with you. And maybe I'll get to come back sometime. And you folks can come down and be with us. Praise God. I appreciate being able to come. All right, we're just going to give you a chance to pray tonight if you've got a need before the Lord. If you're seeking God, if you feel like in your heart you'd like to go a little bit closer to the Lord is able to help you tonight. And Lord, I'd like to just get a little bit closer to you. I'd like to feel a little bit more of your presence.
I'd rather be
in your heart. I need you. He knows everything about you.
Dark rain.
In a deep dark grave, and give the Lord a praise offering for Brother David Rose tonight. I enjoyed every bit of it. David didn't preach anything that we shouldn't be moved up to already. I love the way the man of God brings forth the word. Like he said, we don't need a sugar-coated word. We need it full strength. And we need it just like the Bible says. Somebody says, well, the Bible don't say this and the Bible don't say that. The Bible said the grace of God has appeared unto all men, teaching them to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Folks, there's a thing called conscience that every man and woman's got. You may have never, ever had a praying mommy. You may have never, ever entered into a church door. You may have never, ever cracked open a Bible. You still have a conscience. Amen. And the Bible said God has dealt with every man. With every man. And he's given every man a measure of faith. So what you do with it is entirely up to you. You can either receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord, or you can turn him away. He said, you're either for me or you're against me. You can't have it both ways. And I'm glad of old time preaching. Brother David's following after some big shoes. I look at him and I look at Brother David Rose. I look at Brother Johnny Shepherd Jr. You know, their fathers and Johnny Shepherd Sr. have been pastoring longer than I've been born, right at 50 years at Victor Pentecostal Tabernacle there in Richmond. And then Bill Rose been pastoring well over 50 years at Big Hill. You think, well, my God, them men have been pastoring over 50 years. What can I do? How can I cover their steps? Well, I find in the Bible where God sent Moses, but then there come a time that Moses didn't get to go in. He ran over in the promised land, but he still had a man. He had a man that was capable of finishing the task. And we know it as Joshua and Caleb went in and they was more than able to take it. Well, this is something we started here. And I'll be 46 here in a few weeks. And you know, if I live to be according to the God's word, 70, and by the space of, God's given man 70 years, but if you obey your mother and your father, the Bible said first commandment was promised, your days will be prolonged upon the earth. Well, I might live to be 70. Well, I've done, if that's the case, I've done lived over half my life. So what am I going to do the second half? I'm going to give it all to him. I'm going to give every inch of it. Somebody said, well, Brother Bob, who's going to carry the work on? If God should tarry, God's going to have a man. Somebody said, well, holiness has fallen off. I've preached all over the tri-state for years, David. Me and you and hitting the roads. And I've seen a big change in the movement. And people don't like hearing that, but it's just the reality of it. Holiness is not like it was when me and you first met 17 years ago. It ain't. And if anybody thinks it is, they're fooling themselves. It ain't. There's people that's fell off. There's churches that's quit. There's men that's backslid. But does that give us an excuse to say that God is any less than he was 17 years ago? Hey, people's going to quit. People's going to backslide. People's going to give in to this old world. But oh, glory be to God. Did not he teach us in his word that he said when the enemy come in like a flood, would he not raise up a standard against it? There's not one person in the homeless movement that ever quit God's plan that the Holy Ghost didn't come by and knock on the door first. Ain't nobody going to tell me no different. But they, the Bible said, they crucified the Son of God afresh and bring him to people, you know, you get on those scriptures, they say, he's a preacher. I had one man corner me one time after church, and he said, I don't agree with you. I said, well, what part won't you agree with? I quoted that scripture. The Bible said it had been better for you not having even been born than after you have known it and turned from it. Now, people don't like that kind of scripture reading when you read that stuff. So he met me after church, and he said, I don't believe in that. He said, I believe God's mercy and grace. I said, well, I do too. I believe in God's mercy and grace. But I said, I'm reading what the Bible said. The Bible said if you turn from the holy commandments of the Lord, you're likened under the true proverb, the dog has turned back to his vomit, and the sow that's been washed turned wallow in the mire. Do not err, my beloved brother. He was not talking about the sinner man. He was talking about the church. And he said, don't err, my beloved brother. Don't fall back. And one of the verses, and we're going to go home, one of the biggest verses that scares me, one of my deterrents, if you will, to keep me in this good holy way. The Bible said in Hebrews, after you have been enlightened, that's deep, it's strong, and a lot of guys got a lot of opinions on it. But the Bible said, once you have been enlightened and you've tasted of the heavenly gifts from the world to come, you have been anointed. If that man should fall away, I know some preachers don't think, restoration preachers don't like that verse. Is that all right? Restoration preachers, they get hung up on that. It says to renew that man and get under repentance is impossible. Now, when I read that, that puts a fear in me to help me to understand. I've been enlightened. I've spoken tongues. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I've preached for 26 years. I've been in God's Word. For me to go out there and step across His blood, my friend. Oh, my. You say, now wait a minute, God's married to the backslider. It's one thing, amen, not to know the way of righteousness and turn from it. But once you have known it and turned from it, you're likened unto the true proverb. See, it's one thing to know better. He that willfully sinneth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. And the sacrifice for sin is Jesus Christ. The Bible said, he that willfully sinneth, there remaineth no more sacrifice. And I'll say this for good measure, so you all take it home with you. And say, Bobby Sandlin said it. You can't blaspheme something that you don't have. Paul said, I was a blasphemer. He admitted it. He wrote about it. I blasphemed, but I knew not what I blasphemed. Huh? But to blaspheme something, you have to have it. You have to obtain it. That's why Hebrews says, once you have been enlightened, tasted, anointed, then if you cross the bloodline, to me, that's blasphemy. Now, a lot of people will say, I don't know, brother Bob, about all that. I think blasphemy is making fun of the Holy Ghost. Lord God, I better help people make fun of the Holy Ghost. I've been around people sat around eating kitchen table, sat and make fun. That ain't blasphemy. That's foolishness. That's just stupidity. That's ignorance. But blaspheming the Holy Ghost is when you tell this world, there ain't nothing. I will turn my back on Him. Brother Bobby, why are you talking about that? Just for good measure. Sprinkle a little bit of sugar on top of what he preached tonight. Church, let's live right. And it'd be worth it. And David, I'll say this. I've told my people here. I said, me and Carter agreed this year. Well, the devil's been fighting us. It's been a sight. Me and Carter joined hands and we agreed in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. We made an open commitment to the crowd. We said this is going to be the best year we've ever had. And ever since we said that in January, actually we said it in December, and then we followed it over in January and we rehearsed it again. Woo! Man, I've had a time this year. But you know what? It's only May. And December's coming, boys. And me and Brother Carter, I'm going to stand on it tonight, and it's May the 24th, and I'm still standing on it. I'm going to have my jubilee. I'm going to have my day. We're going to have our moment. God's going to bless the church. Devil don't like it because he takes me down. He got me crawling on the ground. But devil don't realize that's the best place I'm supposed to be, down on my knees, so I can look up and realize He's the one that gives the blessings. They got the fuss in there. They said Paul planted, Apollos watered, and then everybody, don't read the rest of that. Read the rest of it. They sat and fussing because, I'm one of Paul's bunch. Well, I was one of Apollos' bunch. Was you baptized by Paul, or was you baptized under Jesus? Well, I was baptized under Paul. And this one was talking about Apollos. And they was talking about being in little groups. Read that whole chapter. Everybody quotes that verse. Paul planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. But read the whole concept of the story. I'm not a Benjamite. If you come to 5 Mile, you're not a Bobby Sandlinite. You didn't get saved under Bobby Sandlin. You got saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's what that chapter is referring to. That they're sitting there fussing about who they got baptized under, who they got saved under, and who's doing who. It's through Jesus Christ, my friend. And so let's keep the faith. Fight the fight. 5 Mile, our day's coming. We've worked too hard. We've done the planting. We've done the sweating. Now God's going to do the rest. I've learned one thing as being a pastor now, Brother Dave. And I just got 10 years. Soon this is my 10th year as pastor. And I've learned one thing. Be patient. Wait. Just wait. Don't get in a big hurry. Just wait. Everybody's like, hey, not going on. I'm going to run down the road. Well, go ahead and run. I'll stay right here. Because it'll come. And it comes. And when it comes, you'll be left out. David said it right. There's some stickers. Thank God for those ones that stick with you all the way to the end. Said, Brother, Sister Fugit, I appreciate you. You've been right here with me. Sister Enda, you've been right here with me. Brother Jeff, you've been right here with me. These others just come on strong. I love you. It's a sight. Even my son-in-law there. Hardest boy, hardest cat ever clean after right there. But I tell you what, I love him to death. He sticks with me. He'll tell me from time to time. He'll give me a little instruction. He'll talk to me. He'll tell me this is what we need to do. That's what we need to do. I said, all right. Sometimes I say, you're out of your mind. But you know what? We love one another. Brother David, good to see you. Let's stand all over the building.
Yeah.
Sure did.
All
right. All right. Well, thank you. That is good news, Brother Jeff. That's good news.